The elites, including business leaders, were for the most part reconciled to the fact that socialism of some kind was going to be a permanent feature of the political economy. Middleway politics was a carefully crafted appeal to the middle class's entirely justifiable fear of the Red Menace. Hitler and Mussolini exploited this anxiety at every turn. Indeed, it was probably the key to their success. The fascist appeal was homegrown socialism, orderly socialism, socialism with a German or Italian face as opposed to nasty foreign socialism, in much the same way that 100% Americanism had been progressive America's counteroffer to Bolshevism. Time and again, FDR's New Dealers made the very same threat, that if the New Deal failed, what would come next would be far more radical. As we'll see, a great many of FDR's old right opponents were actually former progressives, convinced that the New Deal was moving toward the wrong kind of socialism. That the Third Way could be cast as an appeal to both utopians and anti-utopians may sound implausible, but political agendas need not be logically coherent, merely popularly seductive. And seductiveness has always been the Third Way's defining characteristic. The German and American New Deals may have been merely whatever Hitler and FDR felt they could get away with, but therein lies a common principle. The state should be allowed to get away with anything so long as it is for good reasons. This is the common principle among fascism, Nazism, progressivism, and what we today call liberalism. It represents the triumph of pragmatism in politics in that it recognizes no dogmatic boundaries to the scope of government power. The leader and his anointed cadres are decision makers above and beyond political or democratic imperatives. They invoke with divine reverence science and the laws of economics the way temple priests once read the entrails of goats. But because they have blinded themselves to their own leaps of faith, they cannot see that morals and values cannot be derived from science. Morals and values are determined by the priests, whether they wear black robes or white lab smocks. An experimental age. Ever since FDR's presidency, when liberalism replaced progressivism as the preferred label for center-left political ideas and activism, liberals have had trouble articulating what liberalism is, beyond the conviction that the federal government should use its power to do nice things wherever and whenever it can. Herbert Croly said it well when he defended the New Republic against critics who said the magazine's qualified support from Mussolini violated its liberal principles. If there are any abstract liberal principles, we do not know how to formulate them. Nor, if they are formulated by others, do we recognize their authority. Liberalism, as we understand it, is an activity. In other words, liberalism is what liberals do, or decide is worth doing, period.